Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Ah, it's Thursday, and we have a titanic showdown of two teams who are kind of shells of their normal self. And while the Kansas City Chiefs authored the greatest loss of the season, right? That's actually what they're known for. They played in the best game of the year, but they lost that game. The L.A. Chargers are not known for being L.A.'s team, nor are they known for actually being good. But here's the crazy thing about tonight's game. The winner has pole position for a home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And while that doesn't seem like a big issue for the Chargers, since even their home games feel like road games most of the time, it is for the Chiefs, even though they've lost what their last five home games in the playoffs. Home field advantage, the Chargers and the Chiefs? It's interesting because I watched the Raptors without Kawhi Leonard completely and thoroughly dismantle the Golden State Warriors last night in Oakland. First time in, I think, 13 years they had won in Oakland. And in spite of it, spite of the beatdown, I turn on sports radio, watch sports TV, like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it in the playoffs. Granted, the Raptors did get dusted early, second round of the playoffs by the Cavs last year. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals the year before and I believe went to six games with LeBron, with Kyrie, with Kevin Love. And I think a blind man could see this roster is better than that one. The coaching seems to be better than that one. But much like the Chargers tonight, and even the Chargers that they win tonight, you believe it when you see it. I can tell you they got Derwin James, he'll be Rookie of the Year. I can tell you they got Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and they might have Melvin Gordon. They will have Phillip Rivers. They do have Keenan Allen. They got dudes all over the football field. But you're like, it's Chargers. They started 1-2. They were 0-4 to start last season. Think about this. The Chargers won 6 of their last 9 games last year. They've won 10 of their first 13 games this year. By my math, and it's not that bad, that would be 16-6. That's an incredible record. It's remarkable numbers. And yet, until you see it tonight, and maybe if you do see it tonight, until you see it in the playoffs, you're still not going to buy it. You know what this reminds me of? Hyundais. Right? Do you guys remember when a Hyundai first became available? You remember when they first came out, they had all kinds of build quality issues. Right? They had all kinds of them. All kinds of it. But if you look now, Hyundais and Kias, they're fighting basically with the Patriots or Lexus. Right? You're like, listen, I know they're not sexy. And even though they've kind of tried to restyle their grill, the fact is that if you want to be safe, buy a Toyota, buy a Lexus. Don't buy a Kia or a Hyundai. Because when they first came to the States, they were junk. But they've slowly but surely matured as a company and come up to speed with the big three, who also kind of get a bad rap, right? Like, these cars, the American-made cars aren't. Yeah, you actually look at the initial build quality, and it's all kind of really good. You know, far less issues than there ever used to be before. But it's pretty fascinating to to go to, you know, U.S. News and World Report and see with the, you know, best initial build quality, you got a Kia up there. You got an Audi they always used to break down. You got a Ford. Yeah, you sure you have a Toyota. Sure you have a couple Lexuses. You got a Honda, which you knew would be there. But a Kia and a Ford and a Hyundai? There's two Kias. That little Kia Soul that actually looks like a Mattel car. That's one of the best built cars supposedly in America, even though it's not actually built in America. And that's what the Chargers are. The Chargers are, in a similar fashion, the Jaguars, only if the Jaguars had a better quarterback, right? They've been drafting well for years. They finally hit it out of the park the last couple years in the draft with James this year and Nick and Joey Bosa last year and Melvin Gordon the year before that. You draft well enough, high enough, that many years in a row, and you have a quarterback who's still hanging around starting 205 consecutive games, and shocker here, you're a pretty good football team. They were good last year. They were a kicker away from winning any of those first four games, and they were drop passes away from beating the Chiefs the first time. But it's hard to get people to go and buy some car that they're not familiar with. It's hard to get people to get in with a new luxury brand. You know, Kia has that big luxury sedan that supposedly LeBron drives. Hyundai's got the Genesis, and they got like a new form of Genesis. I'm not telling you what cars to go buy and not go buy. All I'm going to tell you is your brain associates brands with American-made trucks, tough, rugged, real-wheel drive. Toyota's front-wheel drive, soundly made, last forever. Honda's, same thing, kind of boring. Anything else, junk. And the truth is that over time, in building the right way, whether it's a company or a football team, look at the Raptors. In a playoff team, how many times? And they went and they said, look, Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka and OG Anunoby and all these other guys that we have coming back, if we add Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to the mix, two guys that have won championships before, how much better can we be? And so last night, you may not buy the Raptors. You may need to see it in the postseason. I do too. Tonight, you may not buy the Chargers. You might need to see it in the postseason. I do too. But the fact is that you win enough games over enough time, you produce enough quality cars, and people are going to start to notice. The crazy thing is, the Chargers are going to get better and healthier. They're going to get Hunter Henry, who Stephen A. had already playing, even though he hasn't been cleared yet. Whereas the Chiefs, they might have topped out. And some of this is, whether it's initial build quality or our initial look at the NFL. How many times have we told you when the Patriots look bad early in the year, like when they got run off the football field this year by the Jacksonville Jaguars, they'll figure it out. We don't grant the same pass to the Chargers who started 1-2 this year or 0-4 last year. We don't grant it to the Dallas Cowboys who have won, what, six games in a row? We don't grant it to the Houston Texans. We only grant it to the Patriots. And the Chiefs, of course, fight the opposite. They've gotten off the hot starts going back to last year. And even though it felt different, now they lose their running back. Tyreek Hill's playing a little bit, you know, limping a little bit. You lose Sammy Watkins. You lose your backup running back. I don't know. I have no idea if the Chargers can go in and get a win. They've lost 9 in a row to the Chiefs. I don't know who owned the Chiefs, if you've ever seen Slapshot. But I know who owns the Chargers. It is the Chiefs. But they get a win tonight. I think they're getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I don't think they're losing the rest of the year. The Ravens at home, I don't think they're losing the rest of the year. And even then, I don't think people are buying in until you see it in the playoffs.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
one of the teams playing the best football in the NFL right now is the Dallas Cowboys, and it's one of those deals where when they line up to kick a field goal, I'm like, oh, here comes Dan Bailey. That's not Dan Bailey. Dan Bailey in a Vikings uniform just feels weird, right? It does. That's because Brett Maher took his job. The Cowboys kicker joins me on the Doug Gottlieb Show. And when you, Brett, thanks so much for taking time. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes guys won't sign with a team, even for training camp, because they know they have no real shot of making the team. I don't know. What were your initial thoughts when you first joined the Cowboys in camp?
Yeah, my thought was it was an opportunity for me to showcase myself, and wherever that led, I didn't really have control over that, so I tried to just kind of take it day by day and control what I could and see how stuff worked out. But maybe I was a little naive in thinking that I had a chance from the beginning, but I think that mindset served me well.
No question about it. Not your first trip around with the Cowboys, but a lot of completely new faces. Where were you when you found out you were getting the job?
I was in the hotel connected to the facility, just kind of waiting on that day. That can be quite a day, especially if you're kind of on the bubble and you're not sure what's going to happen. So, I was optimistic at that point and was obviously very happy to hear from Coach Garrett and get started here for the regular season.
You know, it's funny. Dan's been on our show a bunch of times. Dan went to Oklahoma State. I went to Oklahoma State. And so we'd always have him on. And there was just this assumption that, you know, it's like he was just going to be a cowboy forever. But people gloss over the fact that with injury, he struggled last season. So now what's it like for you? Because there is a little bit of a large looming shadow where if you miss a kick, it's like, well, Dan Bailey never missed a kick. Well, actually, he did. What's that like to have to deal with?
To be honest with you, I just try and, stay in my own lane and not really pay attention to that stuff and just kind of go about my business and do things to the way I think gives me the best chance to be able to perform on Sundays. So, someone had to be here. Someone's got to be kicking for the Cowboys, and I'm happy to have that job. And then I'm trying to go out there and make every single kick. I realize that's not going to happen, but that's my mindset every time I go out there.
Brett Maher joined us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I'll give you something in TV and in radio, and I think it relates to you. In TV and radio, the bigger the show you do, the more support you have, the easier it is to look good, right? I think that's a lot like playing kicker, right? Because when you went to Canada, I'd have to think the conditions were worse, the footballs were worse, the support staff was worse. I don't know about the depth of the roster and how much you get to work, individually with your holder every day. If it's a punter there, the way that it is here, is that the way it works in football?
I think that's a very good analogy that you made there. In Canada, it was a little tougher because I punted as well. So I had backup quarterbacks, receivers, and stuff like that as my holder. So it was tougher to get that work in. And here with Chris and LP, our snapper and punter and holder, we spend all day, every day together.
Yeah.
So that relationship is awesome. And those two guys have been awesome to me throughout this year.
All right, we got to talk some Canadian football stories. Worst weather you ever kicked in was what?
Oh, man. My rookie year, I played in a cold, rainy, windy game. Got delayed because of wind and rain. And it was, 40 degrees maybe. That was pretty awful.
Where is this? Because you played in Winnipeg. Was that in Winnipeg or was it somewhere else?
That game was actually in Ottawa. Yep. The worst conditions, I think, consistently are probably in Hamilton. That stadium is just windy, and it's right on the water, and just how it's set up is kind of a wind tunnel. Played in a lot of cold games, a lot of under 30, 35 games, especially late in the year there. It's one of those things, kind of back to what you said, is that the stadiums aren't as big, so there's not as much blockage from the wind. The weather's worse the farther north you go, so it's just kind of everything kind of working against you in October, November up there. But I had so much fun up there. I met a lot of great people, and You know, at the end of the day, I was still playing football was my job, and so that was always fun.
Did you fall in love with poutine?
Oh man, I did not fall in love with it. I do love it, but I had to refrain myself from it because that's a fast track to a heart attack as well.
Yeah, it really is. But we talked about poutine because I did with my wife and some friends. We did a trip to Canada. I'd never had it before. And we had it. I was like, this is amazing. But it also, like, people think the American diet is will put on some weight. Right. Like, man, this
Another one, if you make it back up there, especially on the, like, on the East Coast, you got to try beaver tail. I don't know where you've been, but up in Ottawa in the market area, which is kind of like their downtown by the Capitol. Beaver tails are fantastic.
Okay, now it actually is a beaver's tail, or is it just called a beaver tail?
It's just called a beaver tail.
But it's like a donut, isn't it?
It'd be similar to like a carnival funnel cake kind of thing, except for you can put like different toppings on it, and you can get, you know, like an apple pie one, Oreo.
What's on the inside?
Chocolate. It's literally just a pastry with the stuff on it, and then frosting. They're glazed and cinnamon and sugared, and all the stuff that's bad for you, or it makes it delicious.
Yeah, kind of like a Canadian churro, if you will,
a little bit.
A little bit, although they have different flavors, whereas the churros tend to seem to come in just the, right. just the cinnamon. Brett Maher joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What's it like to line up and kick for the Cowboys? Like, first time, you know, you know, you're in the NFL for a minute out of Nebraska, then you're in Canada, all of a sudden, fast track, you're placing Dan Bailey, you line up for kicks. Like, what's that actually like?
It's part of my job, to be honest with you. The football part of it hasn't changed for me, no matter where I've been. I still have an objective when I go out there, and that objective is always the same. But the environment and the outside of football stuff has changed significantly for me this year, and that's fun. That's why I do, you know, why I do this and why we do this, because we want to be at the highest level. We want to put ourselves against the best opponents and see where we stack up. And I think that's kind of the competitor in all of us.
The 62-yarder against the Eagles. What was your, before the game started, what was your pregame number that you said, I'm good from?
I don't go back. I think the farthest I went back was 58 in warmups. And that's, you know, that's every week. That's about where I stopped. And then you know, you're just kind of a guessing game as to, okay, I think that made it by 4 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards. But that's kind of end of game, end of half. Situations, I'm thinking I've got 62-34 in me if that chance occurs. So that happened to be, you know, towards the edge of that range, and I thought we had a shot at it. So happy that Coach Garrett had the confidence in me to let me go out and do it. And you know, that's one of those things where you don't know if that's going to happen again in your career. So to be able to get one and to be able to cash in on it was pretty fun.
We had Graham Gano on, and he said he kicked a 75-yarder in high school. What's your long?
I have hit from 74 is the longest I've ever made one from.
What's that like?
It's kind of weird, to be honest with you, because you're not used to seeing the ball in the air that long. Usually it hits the net and comes down, and it was even a little bit like that on my 62-yarder. It was just longer anticipation than, you know, then I'm used to seeing. But every once in a while, it's fun to just kind of cut it loose and see how far you can actually hit one.
It feels like, and this is just me, it does feel like there are more kickers having kind of those mental blocks mid-season than we've ever had before. I guess some of it is the extra point rule, which is really kind of, I think, completely changed football. Personally, as a fan, for the better, I'm sure, as a kicker, for the worse. But it does feel like the kind of the mental aspect of it has become even more supercharged here this year. Is that a fair perspective, or is that going overboard?
You know, I don't watch a lot of games and see what everyone else is doing. I'll see highlights and stuff like that. And if, you know, there are big blunders or someone does something really cool, like Graham's field goal earlier in the year, I was very well aware of that. It was kind of hard not to be. But I think all the games are closer this year. There's more, you know, one possession, 1 point, overtime, ties, like that kind of stuff. It seems like, at least to me, and that obviously puts, you know, a little more pressure on the extra point, cashing in on 3 points. And, you know, you never want to be the guy that left points out there. So I do, you know, I understand that. But, you know, at the same time, I think, I don't know, I guess. I guess is my best answer. I don't want to speak for everyone else, but there's a lot of close games, and I think so, there's probably some correlation because of that.
And I also think there's the correlation in how you guys are playing, which is faith in the kicking game, faith as well in your defense, right? Like, look, the strength of this team, run the football, play to your defense, play to the kicking game. Which I would have to think is a tip of the cap to you, right? I mean, like, you guys have won 5 in a row. You're not dusting teams off, you know? And I would think that Jason Garrett's faith in you, that he does not have a kicking issue, is at least some form of compliment to you, no?
Yeah, well, I would think so. You know, I've had a few conversations with Coach since the year began, and, you know, I believe he has confidence in me, and I have confidence in myself, and I think that is, you know, when you look towards the playoffs and finishing up this season, that's a big component of making a playoff run too. So, you know, I'm excited about that. I want to be involved, and I want to be a reason why we make a deep run here in the playoffs. I don't want them to do it. You know, I want to help with that run instead of them doing it in spite of me. So, I'm excited for that opportunity. And you know, our defense is playing really well, and our special teams units are all playing pretty well as well. But I think our offense is getting a little underrated. At the same time, I mean, we put up a bunch of yards, not as many points as we were hoping for, but we've been able to run it. Dak's been phenomenal the last month and a half or so for us, and just doing everything that he needs to do, and our offense is putting us in great situations to be in games and close them out when we need to as well.
Brett, great stuff. Congrats on making it back to the league, and continued health and success to you and your family. Thanks for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
All right. Thanks for having me, Doug.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Mark Davis was asked about Amari Cooper and the trade to the Cowboys. Mark Davis, of course, the owner of the Oakland Raiders. He was a great, great player. We always had the fastest guy in the field, no matter what. It just didn't work out in our system. Now, the first thing is, I'm not sure he actually was the fastest guy in the field, as many people have pointed out. In addition to his hands, occasionally, the speed was in question. Didn't seem to have, over the last 2 years, the explosiveness. And while he did... expose the Philadelphia Eagles, like, he's going up against backups with the Philadelphia Eagles. But still, Amari Cooper's been a really good player. But when he says it didn't just work in our system, here's the analogy you can use to explain to people why Khalil Mack is not a Raider and why Amari Cooper is not a Raider and why you should be just fine with it. Ramos, have you redone your house? I know you've lived in your house for like 18 years.
Yes, we have redone some parts of the home inside.
You ever thought about moving?
We have thought about, yes.
And when you think about moving, it's usually one of two choices. You're either going to buy something you're going to redo or get something that has been redone, right?
Sounds about right, yeah.
Right? And then sometimes there is the tweener house, which has been redone, but it was been redone like 5-10 years ago, and the styles have changed. Like, and the it's not necessarily your taste. Well, I look at the Raiders, and they remind me of a house you walk into. And you're like, you know, I like the location. I like the size of the lot. I like the area around the lot. I like all those things. But the layout is screwed up, and it needs a new kitchen. It needs new bathrooms. And you might even like the flooring in one room. And basically, Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper are nice rooms in a house that needed to be redone. That's it. That's the analogy that works for it. You know, you walk in and you're like, man, I used to have this. In two houses I've lived in, now granted, these were East Coast houses. I had an incredible sunroom, and another one, I had a great, what's called a three-season porch. And I would encourage you, California, you could have a four-season porch, but three-season porch essentially is a covered porch with like netting around it so that it keeps any of the bugs out in the summer. And I had a TV on it. I had an indoor-outdoor sofa on it. I used to watch Sunday football when the kids would go to bed out there early in the fall, even into the fall. It was like cool, crisp, put a blanket on. It was amazing. It was amazing. But didn't make up for if I didn't like the rest of the house. Right? The flooring in one room doesn't mean, hey, look, if you need a new kitchen, or for the Raiders, their wiring was all screwed up. Their pipes were all screwed up. Who cares even what the kitchen looks like if you got all kinds of electrical issues? Get it down to the studs and start over. That's what they're doing. And so people are sitting there going, you know, it's like you've seen these farmhouse sinks? Farmhouse sink, you know what a farmhouse sink is? It's like the new style of sink. Now, the truth is that the two-sided sinks, which aren't as sexy, I feel like, are better, right? You put the dirty dishes on one side, then clean them in the other. But all the rage now with designers is one big kind of farmhouse sink with like a little apron over the top. You're like, oh man, I don't know if we want to redo this kitchen. It's got a great farmhouse sink. Like, yeah, but it's completely closed off room. The cabinetry is screwed up. You have no disposal. You got nowhere to sit. That's what they are. What we're forgetting about the Raiders is they were a bad football team. They wouldn't have fired Jack Del Rio if they were a good football team. They wouldn't. You have to get that out of you. You're like, well, you know, they had these two guys. Yeah, and next year Khalil Mack's new contract would have come to be, and next year Amari Cooper's going to make $14.5 million. There's actually an incredible amount of foresight and thought into the look, I understand that it feels like Amari Cooper was the fastest guy in the field. And why is Mark Davis saying all these great things about him? He didn't fit in our system. He should fit into everybody's system. What he's really saying is, look, we're going to gut the house. Sorry we took out that sunroom that you like. We apologize for knocking out the farmhouse sink. We'll get you a new sink. A farmhouse sink does not a perfect kitchen make. Flooring in the dining room does not a perfect house make. You got to have the right layout. You got to have the right wiring, the right plumbing. I don't care what your backyard looks like, but if it doesn't have the right drainage, anytime it rains, it's going to get flooded. And I think people are screwed up in their assumption that you have these two nice, bright, shiny things. Why didn't you hold on to them and build them as assets? Because it's not how you build a football team.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
George Kill joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. Is there anything you need for Christmas?
For me?
Yeah.
I could go for a new Xbox controller.
Oh, did you get mad and throw it, or is it just not connecting properly? Do you need new batteries? Like, let me know. This is Xbox One, right? You're not still doing 360, are you?
Oh, no. I mean, I could use an Xbox One controller and headset. Pretty sure Beathard threw it the last time he was at my house.
Oh, CJ, the quarterbacks are just so entitled. You know, that's really what it is. Did he actually throw it accurately?
Oh yeah, he hit me right in the chest with it. Probably
very, very nice. When you play, are you a Fortnite guy? Are you doing Madden? What are you doing?
I'm actually the worst Madden player of all time. I'm pretty decent at Rocket League. I don't know if you've ever heard.
Yes,
of that.
I was going to mention Rocket League, but I was like, my 9-year-old son's like, Dad, I like, because we're kind of in the not anti-Fortnite, but we're like, we don't get Fortnite. You can go play at your friend's house. We're not going to become a zombie. And he's like, you know what? There's no shooting in Rocket League. Can you get that for me? He really likes Rocket League.
Rocket League's the best.
Okay. It's funny you bring up being bad in Madden. Like, I'm old enough to have played, like, first-gen Madden, always been a good Madden player, playing hoop in college and overseas. I was getting lit up by a 10-year-old in Madden. What happened? How'd the game get so difficult?
Well, you have to, like, use your right stick to stay upright. That's too much for me. I need, the right stick needs to be juke and truck, and that's all I need.
Yeah, yeah.
That ended in, like, 2007.
Okay, so, look, when you had this crazy first half, I'm watching the game, and I text a couple of my NFL friends, and I was like, how the hell are you fall so far in the draft? You ran like a 4.52, right? I mean, your dad's a coach, an athlete. You're a great athlete. You got hurt a bunch in college, didn't you?
I missed, I think, 4 or 5 games my senior year. Yeah, I had a foot injury, so I didn't really have a lot of tape to put up on film, which, no, I understand. I get it. I'm just trucking along now, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, no, really, really amazing stuff. Was it in the game plan to use you that much, or did it just evolve as the game played out?
A little bit of both. We have a lot of plays for a lot of different guys to get opportunities, and I feel like, they just kind of kept dropping me in space, and especially in the zone. We just kept calling them, and I'm pretty sure it was like one play out of a 50-yarder, and then 3 plays later I was wide open for 85 yards. I mean, that's all on Coach Shanahan's scheme. I mean, I wasn't doing anything special. They just weren't guarding me.
Yeah, so, you're also kind of running away from dudes. A guy your size doesn't normally run away from guys, and you're running away from guys as well. I mean, I know you want to give Kyle a lot of credit, but some of it is you have an incredible amount of athletic ability.
Hey, well, thank you. I'll take that.
It's the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. George Kittle is our guest. Okay, so he came up to you. He's like mic'd up. He came up to you and apologized to you for not getting the record. Did you know that you were that close to the record?
I knew, we're in our last drive or our second to last drive. Joe Staley said something to me in the huddle about how I was like 4 yards away. And I didn't even know what he was talking about at first. And then someone said something to me right before the game ended. And I was like, oh, well, that would have been fun. But, we got the win, so it was all okay.
Yeah, game felt over when you're up 20-0. 85-yard, you mentioned the 85-yard touchdown run. What's that experience like for those of us who have never done that before?
Feeling that, like, just seeing the green grass and, like, no one around, and then, you know, Dante had a great block, and I saw that, and I mean, as soon as I saw he had the block, I knew I was going to take it the whole way, and it's definitely an exhilarating feeling running to the end zone in front of a great home stadium.
Yeah, so when you get the block, is it, like, in slow motion? Are you looking up at the Jumbotron to see if anybody's chasing you? Like, do you remember what actually goes through your mind?
Yeah, it kind of does. It slows down a little bit. I know the first one where I got tripped up, I was trying to look up at the scoreboard, and I didn't see the guy behind me. So the second time, I didn't even look at the scoreboard. I just said, screw it, I'm going to run as fast as I possibly can. And that worked out a little bit better for me.
George Kittle joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Kind of a weird year, right? When Jimmy goes down, everybody thought, the season is over. You mentioned C.J. Beathard. He comes in. You guys nearly beat the Chargers in Carson because he was playing great. Then he gets hurt. You guys go to somebody, get out of Southern Miss, nobody ever heard of. Then he plays well. What's this been like with 3 different quarterbacks in such a short season?
What's nice is that we haven't had to change any part of our offense because, like, a quarterback doesn't know anything. All 3 guys know the offense very well. So it was really just, the next guy's up and we're not going to change anything. So, nothing changed for me. It was just, the guy who's throwing me the ball, and, they all have their own touch to it. But, it's still football. It's just playing catch. And, that's just a testament to the quarterbacks for being ready and prepared. And, the fact that we don't have to change anything makes our lives a lot easier.
Yeah, you can, by the way, vote for George to go into the Pro Bowl on Twitter, at GKittle46. Use the hashtag Pro Bowl vote. George Kittle joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Could you sense any, I don't know if it's animus or extra desire to beat the hell out of the Broncos, considering it's Kyle and how his dad's tenure and look, John Lynch, you're ultimately your boss, also a former Bronco. Could you get any sense that it meant a little bit more to them?
Yes and no. I mean, definitely could feel that. We want to win every single game. But you could kind of feel it. With Mr. Lynch and with Kyle. But like I said, it is a football game, and we just did everything we could to win the game, and especially for the York family, the tragic loss that they had, the fact that You know, our owner was there for the game, you know, with us. It was pretty inspiring as well. So, you know, it was an all-around good day for us.
Yeah, you mentioned Jed York coming in, talking about the loss of his brother. It's really, really, really emotional to even watch. I can't imagine being in that locker room. What about winning? You know, there is the sense from those of us idiots on radio, like, hey, you know, they're better off actually losing games. Does that ever come up in conversation?
No. I don't know if everyone like realizes that the NFL, it's a business. And so if you like, when people say tank, it doesn't really make a lot of sense because it's your job on the line. And if you play bad, you get replaced. And so there are guys out here fighting for their lives, you know, for their livelihoods, for their families and stuff. So no one talks about tanking. Everyone's trying to win every single game and everyone's trying to play as well as they can.
All right. Tell me about the Seahawks team. You know, they thumped you guys 2 weeks ago. I mean, really, and this is weird because usually you don't play teams this quickly, right? You play them, then you play Denver, then you play them again. They've had really kind of a remarkable season. Everybody thought they'd be in rebuild mode. They're not. They're in playoff mode. You got a chance to knock them off their pedestal after another big win. What do you see when you see the Seahawks defense?
You know, I see a team that's rolling right now. I don't know if they have four or five in a row, but you know, they're wheeling and dealing. And you know, it's fun because they're coming into our house, and like you said, you know, they whooped us up a couple weeks ago. But what's nice is, you know, we just got to win, and you know, we're feeling good too. So I think it'll be a great win. I mean, a great game, and I can't wait to be out there playing against a great Seattle defense. You know, it'll be really fun for us.
You went to high school. I know you went to high school a couple places. I think Wisconsin a little bit, in Iowa a little bit, and I know you finished up in Norman in Oklahoma. But you're more kind of Midwest, right? Nick Mullins, he feels country to me. He feels like there's got to be some, give me the most country thing Nick Mullins does.
It's just funny. Sometimes he has a southern drawl, which is pretty funny, especially when he's calling a play. He's usually pretty good about it. Like he's very vanilla with how he talks in the huddle because you have to be. But every once in a while you hear it, and it definitely gives me a quick chuckle while I'm jogging up to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, got to be a little bit fish out of water up there in Northern California being a country boy, but I'd love to. That's a reality show I'd love.
Him and CJ are two peas in a pod when it comes to that. It's hilarious.
Who's better at Madden? Oh, who's better at Rocket League, he or CJ?
CJ's so bad at Rocket League.
That's why you have. That's why he threw the controller? Is that what happened?
Probably. CJ's a big Fortnite guy, actually. He's pretty good at that.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, best of luck on the Pro Bowl. Best of luck this weekend. And hopefully you continue to dominate CJ Beathard. And maybe he can replace, I mean, he can afford it. He can replace your controller.
You know what? I think he should. He owes me a Christmas present.
I agree. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you.
George Kittle, 49ers, #Pro Bowl vote. You can vote for him at GKittle46.